This is a Nehemiah moment that we are in right now as President Trump-elect is making announcements about the people that are going to be working with him in his government. And one of the most interesting positions is the Department of Government Efficiency. And he has announced that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy will be working together to strip the government of a lot of power and a lot of waste. And the businesses that they've run has definitely been a good indicator that they are going to be able to do this. So, Dr. Malachi O'Brien, it's great to have you again. I know you're in the airport ready to fly off to some ministry event. In this moment right now, I've been reading through the book of Nehemiah, and I feel like this is a prophetic time because Nehemiah is all about rebuilding what was torn down, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And that was like the first thing that happened. As we were talking about what the Lord put on my heart, we said, let's talk about this on camera. And so what does this mean to you? Like, where do you see some parallels prophetically between Nehemiah and what's happening in our nation right now?
Well, great question and great conversation. And it's never been more fun to be on X and see who's going to get announced. Like, I feel like we're like the NFL draft or the NBA draft right now. Like, totally. Who's going to get announced next? Like, I think even, you know, with, Mike Huckabee being announced the ambassador to Israel, that I thought that was the biggest news and then now we see the Department of Government Efficiency, which ironically and intentionally is called Doge, which anyone in the crypto space understands Dogecoin. So there's a meme even attached to this movement and this moment. If we're being honest, it's funny. So I think there's a couple things at play. One, in these kind of Nehemiah moments, God uses the people you wouldn't think he would use. Number one, I mean, we as Christians, sometimes we just tell God who he can and cannot use. And God's like, your opinion doesn't really matter that much to me. I have my plan. And so I think one, God uses unlikely people, but who are willing. There's a lot of people watching this right now that God wants to use them in this Nehemiah moment. When we get in this conversation, hopefully they can hear from the Spirit of God how that can be. But then these moments are quick moments. These moments are fast moments. And I think what we're about to see happen in the next few short days, few short weeks, few short months, I think it's going to be mind blowing how fast it is. So this is a prophetic moment. And I want people to realize God has two speeds. Everybody remember this. Like if you had pen, pencil, lipstick, or mascara, I'd write this down. God has two speeds. All right. Two speeds, slowly and suddenly. And I think we're in a suddenly moment.
Yeah, I agree. We are definitely in a suddenly moment. And just from what we've been seeing over the past couple of days, really a couple of hours even, it definitely seems that things are moving quickly and there's change coming. Now, with this Department of Government Efficiency, I think that is just brilliant because I know I look forward every year to Rand Paul's displays of he pulls up the big cards and is just talking about government waste. And there's so much waste out there that it's going to be great to be able to trim the fat. But I just really appreciate some of the things that with this official statement from President Donald J. Trump, he said, I am pleased to announce that the great Elon Musk, working in conjunction with American patriot Vivek Ramaswamy, will lead the Department of Government Efficiency. But they're calling it the Manhattan Project of our time. And one of the things that I find very, very interesting is they say the last sentence or so says their work will conclude no later than July 4th, 2026. A smaller government with more efficiency and less bureaucracy will be the perfect gift to America on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. I am confident that they will succeed. Now, to which Elon has also replied, it will be done sooner. You know, so there's a bit of confidence with this. And so the parallel with Nehemiah is that he took over a project that was totally broken and defunct and was basically, you know, you had Tobiah and Sanballat that were mocking him for even trying to rebuild this thing. He got the people together and rebuilt it in 52 days. He rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and made them stronger in 52 days. Then there was more things that had to happen. But, you know, as you're looking at some of the responses from this, because I know you're on X all the time, what are some of the things that you're seeing and what are you feeling about this cutting away the fat?
Well, let me give you two examples real quick so we know who we're dealing with here, okay? Number one, everyone remembers the iconic moment when Elon bought Twitter, which is now X, and the meme of him taking the kitchen sink, you know? And people thought, you can't...
Yeah,
you can't do that. And then he fired like 80% of the people at X because it was a waste. And people thought, oh, you can't do that. It won't work. But now it's working better. So like Elon has the track record of doing this very, very well. And then you think of Donald Trump. I remember if people go back to history and study that back in New York City, I would say 80s, be 90s. I'm probably off on my years when there's a skating rink in New York City that just couldn't be built. And when Donald Trump got involved, it got done in record-breaking time. Mm-hmm. And so I do think speed is important. And I think the response online is it's about time. Now, the people that don't like it, the Sandballots and Tobiats of the world, are the ones that they do appreciate the waste because they're the ones that benefit from the waste. All right. Mm-hmm. The Warhawks benefit from the waste. The neocons benefit from the waste. And so here's the rhinos benefit from the waste. The liberals. So like we're actually saying, you know what? If we don't do this, though, if we don't rebuild this wall, we're financially doomed as a nation. Like we're bordering where our interest payments as a nation to our debt is more than our gross, like the numbers are astounding. So yeah. The response online by those that see the need is great, but I would love to be a fly on the wall in the conversations that and hear what maybe some senators and some representatives really think. Cause I think this terrifies the bureaucracy, the bloated bureaucracy that we have that no, their job is probably on the line. Their little extra thing is on the line. There's probably nations of the world that are used to getting free handouts from the United States that realize, hey, we're not giving free handouts anymore. And so I think this is a generational changing moment. It is literally another 1776 moment. And I love it. It'd be a perfect gift for America to know that we're not going to bankrupt our great grandkids.
Yeah. And I know that's something that I'm looking forward to, you know, knowing that there's a brighter future ahead because we're not spending ourselves into oblivion. You know, before we started this conversation recording, you and I started talking about fasting and literally what they're going to be doing with the Department of Government Efficiency is a type of fasting. We're going to be saying no to those things that are hurting us, no to the food, no to the basically we're going to refocus our energies on the Lord whenever we're fasting. And so this is going to kind of refocus some of the energies to where it needs to be and hopefully bring some healing and alignment. Because I know every time that I've done a longer fast, I've done several 21-day fasts, it has brought alignment physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And it's just always been a good thing. It's difficult to go through it because you are buffeting your flesh. You're saying no to your flesh. And in this way, they're saying no to a lot of the bloat in the country and all these things that are taking us further away from the calling that God has put on our nation. Now, I know some people say, oh, America was never a Christian nation. They're wrong. You know, I don't care what anybody says. You look at the founding documents. You look at the journals of the founding fathers. You look at the Mayflower Compact. You look at every type of founding document in this nation. You see that God is at the center of it, and that there is a manifest destiny for this for this nation. We have a purpose and a plan that God has for us, and it is yet to be fulfilled. It is yet to even be realized fully too, and sometimes we got to cut the fat so that we can streamline and we can run the race that God's called us.
Well, you mentioned fasting, and I think especially anyone who's watching right now, I would tell everybody, we need you fasting for our nation. And obviously the beginning of the new year is that. I know a lot of people plan on that. I know you're planning on that. But I can tell you, John, personally, a 40-day fast changed my life in 2010. 2010, 40-day fast, liquid fast changed my life. And just, I encountered more of the presence of God in that fast than I had ever had any time before. And I tell people, if they want more of God, they need to fast. And so, I'm grateful that we get to do this as a nation because it takes us. And again, people gotta realize the money that our government spends is not, it's not the government's money. It's our money. Given. And when we fast, it's like our bodies belong to the Lord. And so in fasting, we're saying, Lord, we just want a realignment all back to you. That's why we fast. And so I hope people fast. And this national, everything happening in our nation, here's kind of my prophetic picture this. Everything happening nationally in our government right now is a picture for us spiritually in the church, in our denominations, in our homes. Okay, wait, they're cutting things out. We need to cut things out. Oh, they're building walls. We need to build some walls of protection in our lives. Oh, wait, they're speaking truth to lies. We need to speak truth to lies. Like, there's probably a parallel to everything we're seeing now in the natural and in our nation that would apply to us spiritually in the church. And that's why I'm looking with eyes wide open to what's happening and what does that mean?
Yeah. What is God doing in this nation? It's really interesting to see as things are unfolding, because you still have Biden and Harris that are still at the helm. But we know that there's this transition that is going to be happening. And, you know, at noon on January 20th, Donald J. Trump will have his hand on the Bible and he will take the oath of the office of the President of the United States.
It's hard to imagine, John, though. Think about this. At the time of this recording, whenever people watch, they can do the math. But at the time of this recording, it was 123 days ago. Donald J. Trump came within a millimeter of his life being gone.
Right.
I mean, for Nehemiah, for such a time as this, did God raise him up? For such a time as this, did God raise up Donald J. Trump? And for such a time as this, is God raising up people who are watching this video to go, you know, you may not be in government. You may not be a pastor. You just may be a praying mama, praying grandma, praying dad, you know, a business owner. You have part of a wall to build in your life for the sake of your family, your church, and this nation.
Well, let's talk about the family as well, because I know education is one of the big things that Donald Trump has recently put out, that he's going to basically dissolve the Department of Education and return that back to the local states, return that power back to the local states. And I've heard a few people actually say, well, what does that mean for me? How does that affect us? Really, you're not going to be forced to have this agenda that has been forced down our throats. This
modern day government indoctrination camps. That's exactly what public school has become in many states, not all, but many. They're just modern day indoctrination camps.
Yeah. So for the states to have that power again, I mean, you have eight children. You know, you care about their education, you care about their upbringing. What does that mean to a parent, to you as a parent?
As a parent, it makes me know that, one, I'll have a little bit more. The money that I give will be able to be used to get my kids the best education where I believe it to be, which may not be their local school. It might be that money they normally get, where it can go somewhere else, whether it be private school, charter school, homeschool, Christian school. But we got to realize that the discipling of the next generation happens the 8 hours a day they're in school. And what they're learning matters. And so now that it goes back to the states, we can actually hold these unions accountable. We can hold our school boards accountable and even more of our state educational system accountable to the curriculum. But what most people don't realize, like my son, okay, he was with me at the Trump victory rally, took a government test just right before we went to this rally. And they basically wanted to figure out what party you were and how radicalized you were in that party. And so people don't realize that, like, what their kids are learning in schools, they're taught that, and not every school, but they're taught that we're a racist nation. We're taught that there wasn't a Christian founding. We're taught that Christopher Columbus was an evil person, and that it wasn't, God's hand wasn't on America. And so we actually get to have more control and accountability at a state level. And then that tells people to decide, maybe I need to move to a different state. Maybe where I'm at isn't well. And so now it's going to force competition, which is the American way, you know, to get better. And so I think this is the great equalizer. And again, I'm just saying, parents watching, you can't subcontract out the discipleship of your kids and grandkids to the government or even to your church. You have to know what they're learning, why they're learning it, and are they applying it to their life? This is at the feet of parents. This is your wall to build, and it's your wall to build it fast.
Yeah. You know, I really appreciate that. You know, you're talking about families. You're talking about kind of a little bit of a legacy there, and we need to make sure that we build that. Well, there's a little bit of a political legacy that has been a spotlight recently, is that the governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, her father, who was the former governor of Arkansas, has now been tapped to be the the ambassador for Israel. Now, he is a Southern Baptist, and he's very, very, very pro-Israel. What is your take on this pick? Because I know you tweeted about this, and you seem excited about this.
And I TikToked about it. It was breaking news. He was before he was even governor, even how he became governor was a miraculous. People know the story of Arkansas, which I once lived there. It's miraculous how he became the governor. Like I think he was lieutenant governor and then became governor. I got to go back and check how that worked. But the reality was before that, he was a mega church pastor in Arkansas. He's got his doctorate from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And so he's a preacher. He understands the gospel, people being born again, and he had a love for Israel that came from his understanding of the Bible. And as a pastor, he was taking people in his church to Israel long before he became governor, long before that happened. And then all the things God's used him for. So I think it's kind of like ironic in a good way that the Lord would give us someone for Israel that one, first and foremost, preaches about the Jesus from Israel for the gospel of the whole world. So I think there's a lot of symbolism in this, and I think he's the best pick. And I was kind of drawn to tears if you watch Sarah Huckabee's video, like talking about her dad. It's just cool. It's just cool. And I'll give you one other thing, John. I'll tell you maybe the best thing I like about Mike Huckabee. And now this is very controversial, right? And I'm trying to be funny, but this is very controversial. Okay, he likes Waffle House. I think that speaks volumes. I'm just saying, I love Waffle House. He likes Waffle House. We've got a great ambassador to Israel.
Yeah. Okay. So your bar is a little bit lower than I expected it to be, but that's. But you know, Israel is a big thing. I mean, you know, especially a lot of people in this nation look at Israel. We know that our biggest ally in the Middle East is Israel. Israel's biggest ally is the United States. There's this relationship. You know, the United States was the deciding vote in 1948, where Israel was then officially basically reestablished as a nation. And so there's a connection there. And so we've had good things. We've had bad things with different people who have represented the United States there. I think this is going to be a good one. I just want to know what's going to happen with the Huckabee show after this. So
sadly, it's going to have to go away for a while.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. So, but I'm excited about that pick as well. I know he fears the Lord. He loves Jesus. And that's a good thing, because if he loves Jesus, he's going to love Israel. He's going to love the people that God has called there. So as we're wrapping up here, what are some other picks that you've been excited about? Because I really feel like this is a Nehemiah moment where the team is being assembled, the walls are being rebuilt, and it's not just the wall itself. We also have Ezra, the priest, you know, the temple, the implements from the temple and the edicts and the laws were basically brought back into order. There were things that were that were basically in chaos. I mean, people were buying and selling on the Sabbath, and that was a big no-no. In fact, Nehemiah actually said, if you continue to do this, I'm going to beat you up. I mean, that's the John Matarazzo paraphrase version, but he says in New King James, he said, I will lay my hands on you. So there's a seriousness to this, but Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. There was the temple that was rebuilt as well. So there was other people that were involved with this as well.
The order is very important of that. The order. So before they could rebuild the temple, before they could restore worship in the temple, the walls had to be rebuilt. And so I think people need to understand there is a succinctness to our nation doing what it's doing so that we can see revival in the church and awakening in America. And so that's why it's never comes down just to one person. People don't realize the election of a president is actually the election of 5,000 other people that'll be involved in government to some level of degree. And so that's number one important people to know. And then part of those that when the president picks somebody, you have to be appointed by Congress. So that's why the person in the Senate matters a lot, because a lot of times Democrats or whoever will try to hold up appointments as long as they can. Mm-hmm. This next presidency is going to be probably one or two more, which is a prophetic word someone else has given, to Supreme Court justice. So people need to realize that. Now, you asked me about my other picks. This feels like it's like the 1992 dream team with Jordan and Charles Barkley. For anyone who's you know younger than us, John, they will never understand. There's never been a greater basketball team. Kobe and they don't come close to that team. Okay, but I would say
I had the poster in my bedroom actually for that one.
Yeah. I had a jersey. I loved it. I would say Marco Rubio. I think his appointment is pretty powerful because he's no hold barred to Hamas. I mean, there's videos about that. I think Marco Rubio is going to be great. I think that him electing a female as his chief of staff is actually very important, because obviously you have that famous Mark Cuban video where he said that Trump does not surround himself with strong women. That's a pretty strong appointment. And so, and realize that's a tough position. If you want to know the one I'm most excited and waiting to see is who will be the press secretary. Who will be the press secretary? That has become more of a heightened position than ever. People got to remember that was what Sarah Huckabee was, you know, for a season. And so those appointments encourage me. I know there's been more have come out. Those are the ones that come to the top of my mind as we're talking here right now. And I'm sure an hour from now we'll be like, oh, we should have waited. There'll be more people. But it feels like it's the NFL draft. This is round one, and we haven't even seen round two, round three, round four. Now, I'll finish with this, though. What I'm most excited about is something President Trump said at the inaugural National Faith Summit put on by the National Faith Advisory Board, and that is there's going to be an Office of Faith that directly reports to him. And there was a similar thing in his last administration, but this one directly reported to him. It's going to have more power than it had before. And again, I do believe that, Lord willing, the same two people that I know that were at the helm before will be at the helm again. And that would be Pastor Paula White, spiritual advisor to the president. And then honestly, Jenny Korn, who's, you know, in her role. So that office actually excites me the most because it helps get people of faith connected to the policies that matter because people matter. And so that's actually those two, Paula White and Jenny Korn, those two excite me for what's up ahead.
Yeah. Policies affect people and people matter to God. And that's what we need to be praying for and praying about. Dr. Malachi, would you pray for these appointments that Donald Trump is making, the Department of Government Efficiency, the rebuilding of the wall the right way would be done efficiently and effectively, and all these other appointments that the hand of the Lord would be on the king?
Absolutely. I'm glad we could do this at Charisma. And everybody watching online, if you're watching, just leave a comment if you're praying too. So Holy Spirit, you're our best friend. And we come to you right now and say, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing in real time. I feel like we're in a world we never could have imagined. But I pray right now for Elon Musk, protect him and his family and his businesses, God, even in this moment, protect him and bless him, God. I think of Vivek Ramaswamy, bless him and his family and protect him. JD Vance and the role he plays, God, protect him and his wife and his family, God. Mike Huckabee, him and his family, the health of all these individuals, God. Lord, thank you for just his appointment, God. Thank you for, Lord, just again, all that you're doing. I pray for Pastor Paula White, and I pray for Jenny Korn and this office of faith that'll affect, Lord, millions of believers in our nation and around the world. And Lord, give the president wisdom and the people he puts around him. Lord, we do not want people that would seek to undermine the work that you're trying to do. And I pray, Lord, you'd surround him with Christians. Lord, Nehemiahs, yes, people that know you and have a heart for your people and what you're doing for Israel, for the church, two totally separate things. You're not done with the church, you're not done with Israel, but put Christians around him. And Lord, not people that will betray him or use him, but people that will serve him. And Lord, there's a mandate, I believe, yes, in the American people, but a mandate from heaven that you're not done. Revival's coming. America will be saved, just as Reinhard Bonnke said many years ago. America will be saved, just like all the things Kim Clement has said and others have said, the prophetic words, and more importantly, the word of God. Lord, if my people call on my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's what we're doing now. We're seeking your face, Lord. Lord, and hear from heaven. You forgive our sin, heal our land. Please do that. So bless everyone who's watched this video in a special way, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And just like Nehemiah had his builders working on the wall, they had one hand that was building and one hand that was ready for the fight, because there is an attack coming. So we as believers, we need to be prayed up. We need to intercede and pray for what is happening in our nation. This is not a time to sit back. This is a time to advance. And this is a time to build. I'm John Matarazzo with Dr. Malachi O'Brien for Charisma News. God bless you, and we'll see you again real soon.